The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
We've consistently proposed long-term partnerships, while America has often pursued short-term transactions. The gap between partnership and competitor, unfortunately, has remained too wide in recent days. So last evening, I instructed our negotiators to return to Ottawa. We cannot accept what they've offered, and we will not give what they've asked. In recent weeks, there had been important progress made towards a possible agreement, an agreement that would have reinforced Canada's position as having the best deal in the world with the United States, including by securing the best terms for each of our most important strategic sectors and by providing greater certainty about our future trading relationship. And while we believed earlier this week that we were moving towards a mutually beneficial agreement, in recent days the United States proposed new terms that were uneconomic, unfair, and undermined the net benefits for Canada and called into question the reliability of any deal. In short, they asked too much and they offered too little.
They asked too much and they offered too little. That was Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney's explanation to Canadians yesterday, just hours after he withdrew his team from trade tariff negotiations with the United States. So what happens now for Canada and who holds the real power? I'm joined by Ilya Gridnev, a Canada correspondent for the Financial Times. Good morning and welcome.
Ah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, were they heading for a deal before the events of this past week and the closing stages of the deal? Were they heading for a deal that both sides might have considered to be fair?
Well, by all accounts, they were. Right up until Friday, both sides were feeling positive, and the message coming out of the talks was positive. Even President Donald Trump had tweeted that a deal could be made. This was right up until the very last hour or so, with the midnight deadline looming, and then talks collapsed just before the deadline. The Canadians walked away saying that the Americans were offering a bad deal, and it was unacceptable.
What was interesting in that little clip I played, part of Mark Carney's address, was where he said the whole question of the reliability of the deal was evident. It would not be reliable, could not be reliable. In other words, he was saying, you can't trust America.
Well, he said that the American signature on the deal was in pencil. He said that that Canada had acted in good faith, had been at the table, had been negotiating, and then at the very last minute, the U.S. team just pulled out some new clauses and some new ideas that hadn't been previously discussed, and that's when things went awry.
And did the Americans think that they had got them so far to signing a deal that the Canadians would have been unlikely to pull out, but they didn't know their Mark Carney?
Well, that's right. Mayo's own. I think your listeners will be proud to know that he has strong Irish roots and was recently in Ireland. But yes, I mean, Mark Carney is proving quite a global phenomenon with his famous speech at Davos that basically called out the US for disrupting the world order. And he's been basically, and he said yesterday, he said in his speech, he listed the long list of concessions and efforts that Canada had made over the last 18 months or year in the various efforts to make a deal, to compromise, to find a way to get those devastating tariffs off key sectors like auto and steel and aluminum. And he basically sort of voiced a frustration, perhaps not just of Canada, but of the world with dealing with a very intransient administration that no matter what you do and no matter how much you give up, there's always going to squeeze you for a little bit more, or the deal in 2 weeks' time is thrown out the window and we have to come back to the table. Mm. So Carney, quite frustrated, I think, by that, and said, you know what, we've had enough. We're walking away.
Now, Carney himself, he's a man of immense experience in terms of the global economy. I mean, he was the boss of the Bank of England. He knows his way around world trade and world finances. You'd expect that on the other side there would be Americans who would be equally competent, but maybe they always have to echo their master's voice.
Well, there was certainly that aspect to it, but one of the emerging narratives from the Canadian side especially is that the US team was not united in its message and its position. The Canadians have been sort of very clear about what they want. They want the tariffs lifted on auto sector, off the steel and aluminum and lumber. But it seemed that the Americans, and this the main sort of accusation is against the Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick, came in and sort of derailed the talks that Jamison Greer had been running, the U.S. Trade representative. So it's now turned into a bit of a tit-for-tat argument about what went wrong, because the U.S. side is also now blaming or accusing the Canadians of walking away from a great deal, and they are the ones that are to blame for the talks collapsing.
And Trump has said that Canada wants the benefits of being a U.S. state without actually being one. And of course, that's, I suppose, a familiar refrain from Donald Trump. Now, Mark Carney has promised that they will do tit for tat, dollar for dollar. How might they hurt the United States?
Well, this has been the central sort of argument and the main complaint from the U.S. They have this position that they're outraged and disappointed that the Canadians are retaliating, and they keep sort of putting Canada in the same basket as China, as the only country or the two only countries that have dared to retaliate against the might of the U.S. So from all accounts, the Prime Minister is going to see where the pressure points are for the U.S. economy. Now, we have to remember that President Donald Trump also has a bit of a headache on his hands, or has a problem on his hands with his own economy, because there are rising prices, the diesel's going up, they just had hit a new debt ceiling. And there's midterms in November. So there's a calculated thought that the Canadians can also exact pain and pressure onto a U.S. economy that is struggling in certain areas.
Now, they do export lots of things to the United States and vice versa. But there's one commodity, and it only represents 1% of the total grid in the United States. That's electricity. But there are parts of the United States where the lights could go out if Canada decided to deprive them of power.
That's correct, and it's been a pressure point that provinces like Ontario and Quebec have raised in the past. Quebec and Ontario provide a great deal of electricity to its neighboring states, Maine and New York, for example. It's been threatened by the provinces. It's certainly an aspect or one of the tools in their trade toolbox. But I we are curious, or we wonder how realistic that is, considering some of the logistics, and also in these kind of threats and measures, it also hurts Canada when you cut off, a major export.
Now, the question of tariffs, they add to the price in the shops for Canadians, depending on the different commodities. So everything goes up. I presume Mark Carney has been telling Canadians, look, there may be some pain, but we can take the pain.
That's right. That's been the argument for the last year or so. Under the current regime, so 85% of goods and services sent to the U.S. are exempt from the tariffs. They fall under the U.S., Canada, and Mexico trade agreement. So a majority of items being sent are not being tariffs. However, it's this new set, this new group of very obscure and strange, well, not strange, but it's just very obscure items like hockey sticks and furniture. And there's $20 billion worth of goods on something like 12 pages of products. So it's going to be tough for small businesses. It's going to be tough for independent businesses. But at the same time, the more broader challenge is on these key strategic sectors like aluminum, steel, lumber, and auto. There's a real pressure or a push from the US, especially in the auto, where they're trying to basically squeeze the Canadian auto sector dry and to try and make the situation so bad that it's not prosperous. So major car.
Yeah, meantime, Canada's doing deals with China, and I presume that does not please the Donald either, that they would be forming favorable trading relations with China.
Well, that was one of the red lines that Carney raised in his speech yesterday. He said that the Americans at the last minute raised a new provision that prevented them from cutting trade deals with other countries. He did not explicitly say China, but there is great distrust and dislike of Canada's moving closer to China. And the irony there is that that's part of a pivot away from the US due to trade tariffs.
Now, this is all of a piece with Trump's carry-on, you know, whatever he thinks the United States could benefit from, whether it's rare earths or whether it's oil and gas. He says, I want it, and he wants what Canada has. He also wants what Greenland has, and there's this thing called sealskin diplomacy that they're embarking on, where they've inserted an American company based in Texas called Greenland Energy, and they want to, without permission, to go drilling.
Yes, this is another one of these sort of stories that pop up from time to time that really, you know, sort of think, wow, this is crazy, or this is a really interesting situation. But yes, so Greenland, the small, tiny Arctic island off Denmark, a semi-autonomous region, has long been sort of in the focus of President Trump and caused international outrage, diplomatic outrage, and also concerns from locals who claim their own sovereignty. They don't want to be a sort of vassal state or taken over by the US. And for years, though, various companies, mineral companies, oil companies have sought their riches in this far off Arctic land. Not many have found much in return. So that's kind of one of the challenges there. It's, you know, incredibly inhospitable conditions. But one U.S. company with links to the president, links to the U.S. president, has suggested that a way to win the hearts and minds of local Greenlanders is to harness the seal fur skins that local hunters basically throw away every year because there's no market. The EU has banned the trade of seal skin, and similarly with the US since the 1970s. So this oil company has come up with an idea that perhaps we can, you know, open up our markets to buy the seal skins, and we'll be the best friends of Greenland.
Dear, oh dear, oh dear, it never ends. Ilya Gridnev, Canada correspondent for the Financial Times. Ilya, thank you very much for joining us on our program today.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Timber Living Log Cabins.